Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres won big in Milwaukee, and our host Jesse Agler is joined by Kurt Bevacqua, who always seems to join us on the day after a Padres win.
Yeah, but it's coincidental more than anything.
No, it's not coincidental.
Okay.
It's a statistic.
Along with him being a good luck charm, Kurt Bevacqua also joins us for his vast baseball knowledge.
Say it again, loud and proud.
I know nothing.
That's exactly right.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bevacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. You know what that was last night, KB? That was a good old-fashioned beatdown.
Butt whipping.
That's it. That was a butt kicking last night in Milwaukee. Hopefully more of the same tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday afternoon.
I don't remember one of those between the Baumgartner game and that one last night.
I think there are probably only one or two, you know, others in there that have been like that.
Just none comes to mind.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, they don't jump right out at you.
And it's amazing.
It was fun. You need more of that.
Oh, yeah.
You need laughers, right? Every once in a while, one where you can just kind of sit back.
Laugher.
You crack open a beer. Not if you're a player. I'm saying if you're at home and you're not at all concerned about what's going to take place the rest of the way. You need those every once in a while.
Well, I think this ball club, and we've said it before, is the type of club that it seems like the hitting is contagious. And there's some guys that are stepping up. I mean, I told everybody when they were down on Jed Jerko, and he got sent out, that he'll make an adjustment, that he's a good young player. And, boy, he's starting to show that he can really do some things at the major league level.
That was a bomb last night. Not a cheapie in the home run department. Drove in a run in the top of the third inning with a base hit through the left side. And then just a monster. I think they called it 420 feet. Bernie was worried up there for a moment. There was a brief moment where Bernie the Brewer thought that thing might be coming slide side.
Hey, there's strong coal miners in West Virginia. I suppose he's got, he's bred that way. He's a strong boy. He really is. And,
yeah.
And he's got skills.
Country strong? Is that what they called that back
Country
in the day?
Country strong. There
yeah,
you go.
He's one of those guys.
I think he is.
From West Virginia. Morgantown in particular, a 13-5 win over the Brewers. Welcome inside the AMR studio. You're Kurt Bevacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. And we're going to have some fun today. We're going to talk about that one. We're going to talk about some other stuff going on around Major League Baseball, including some really surprising news out of Detroit with Dave Dombrowski being out as the CEO, GM. He was in charge of everything. He ran the whole Tiger operation, but no more. So we'll talk about that. We'll get to your questions and your comments. Remember, on Twitter, use the hashtag PadresSH. That's the hashtag to join the conversation on Twitter. And whether you're watching on Fox Sports San Diego, whether you're watching on Padres.com/Social Hour, or whether you're listening on the radio on ESPN 1700, we ask that you contribute in one way or another to this thing. At the trade deadline, and when it passed, and they just made the one move, Almonte for Zepchinski, everybody said, all right, you have to play 600 ball the rest of the way. 88 wins is sort of the magic number. And we've pulled that a little bit out of our backsides, but that's what you're guessing. 88 wins going to get you to the postseason in some way, shape, or form. Might end up being 85, 86. Might end up being 90, 91. But we'll say 88 for the sake of conversation. And we said, all right, coming out of the trade deadline, Padres is going to have to go 39-21. That's going to be how they have to finish this season. 39 wins, 21 losses to get to 88 victories. So far, 4-1 since the trade deadline. And the one loss Sunday, they bounced back to tie it in the ninth inning after one of the best pitchers in baseball held them off the board. So 4-1, it's not all the way. Not a bad way to start this thing off, though.
Went 2 out of 3. Every series, you're in good shape, right?
Yeah.
We said that a couple of weeks ago. Had some tough times on that one 10-day road trip where they won 2, lost 6, and then won the last 2. And then ever since then, they've really played good baseball.
They have.
They really, really have.
And that's the important thing, obviously, at this point in time. Yanhervis Solarte seems like a pretty good place to start. Boy, he and Amarisa looking, Pat Murphy making him look like a genius of some sort, huh? You know, I mean, forget Solarte for a second. And I don't mean that in the sense that you should actually forget him, because he's been playing some great baseball. He's hit in 9 straight games, had another big night last night. But there were plenty of people yesterday going, man, Amarista again? And, you know, what about Clint Barmas? And he goes out and he just continues to contribute these last couple of days. And a little bit odd maybe for some people to see him in the starting lineup at this point. But if he's going to keep getting hits like that, Pat Murphy, I imagine, is going to keep putting him in there.
Well, and I remember about 2 weeks ago, Clint Barmas having a game where he hit a home run, mm-hmm. got another hit or two, and the next day he was out. But yet, Lexi gets into the lineup, and he does well. Now, this is a super utility guy.
Yeah.
He gets into the lineup, does well, and Pat Murphy keeps him in there. So I can't figure out Pat's thinking. He's beyond trying to figure out right now for me. But I'll figure it out. When he gets back into town, I'm going to talk to him about that and try to see where he's coming from. But, boy, those two guys are swinging the bats really well right now. But you know what? I hate to see Amarista hit home runs. As crazy as that
sounds. Even in the situation that it was on Sunday?
No. Not the one in Miami.
Okay.
Because you really have to look to do that in that situation. I just hate to see him hit home runs in general or balls up against the fence, because I think he's a much better hitter than what he's shown if he tries to go the ball the other way with the ball and try to hit the inside of the ball instead of hitting the outside of it, which is what he's been doing the last couple of games when he's been hitting well. But, you know, every once in a while you're going to get fat pitches and you take advantage of them. If he can do the little things and go the other way and hit the inside of the ball the other times up and make himself that much more of a better hitter, then it'll be awesome.
All right, so let's talk hitting here, Mr. Hitting Coach. How easy of a thing is – I mean, it sounds very simple how you're describing it. Oh, just hit the inside of the ball. Just take it the other way. But I imagine that's not necessarily the most simple thing for a guy to do. You know, here we are on August 4th of this season, and he's having the kind of year he's having.
I'll tell you how easy it is. It's not very easy at all.
Yeah.
And I remember Alvin Dark sending me to the plate against Jim Palmer in Baltimore one night, and he says, kid – because at that time I was. He says, don't swing at anything above your waist, because the ball goes up a little bit and you just got to lay off that pitch. Three pitches later, I was back in the dugout, swung at three pitches about at the letters,
yeah,
and I was done. That's experience. I was not experienced. It was my first couple of weeks in the big leagues. And I had never seen Jim Palmer before, so
sure.
I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to look for. I hadn't watched him in a major league game in certain situations and known what pitches he was going to throw to hitters. But years later, when I faced Jim Palmer, I was fine because I didn't swing at those pitches. I didn't swing at those curveballs out of the strike zone that he threw to set hitters up for the high fastball. So – you learn that with experience, and when Lexi learns that a little bit more, because he's still young. He still has a lot of games to play at the major league level, and he's going to be a good player.
All right. You're confident. You're optimistic. You're looking forward, but there are adjustments.
He's a valuable commodity.
You want to see made. Well, he's got to hit more to be valuable. He's got to hit more. But you're saying this is what he needs to do from a hitting standpoint, and if that ends up being the case, that's fine. All I know right now is Pat Murphy seems to be riding the hot hand a little bit, and I'm all in favor of that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all in favor of that, and I get that. And he and Solarte at the top of the order are both providing some heat right now. Jan Hervis yesterday, 2 for 3, 2 homers, 4 RBIs, and he's hit in 9 consecutive games. And he gave them your favorite thing in the world, which was to get on the scoreboard first. When you hit a home run with one out in the top of the first inning, you're going to strike first, and I know you love that.
Now, that home run right there was a bomb.
The 3-run shot,
oh, yeah,
later in the game.
I mean, that was a bomb,
was
and I think
out.
He was looking to do that. And he's another guy that swings from his heels a lot.
Yes.
And when he gets into a little bit of a rut, he falls into situations where he rolls over on balls. If he can be as selective as he's been the last week or two, and continue to just do that and not roll over on those balls that are on the outside part of the plate and try to pull them, I tell you what, he's a good-looking hitter right now.
Yeah, no, I mean,
big time.
There are guys that are streaky. Although Pat Murphy said something really interesting a couple of weeks ago when the team was home. he was asked about streaky players, right? And it's one of those things we always talk about. Hey, a guy is streaky. And, you know, we've said it about Tommy Medica in the past. We've said it about Solarte. Most guys, right, at some point or another, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, streaky guy. And Pat Murphy says, he goes, I get why you guys say that. And he was talking to the media and fans, I think, by extension. He says he doesn't ever like to think of a guy as streaky or talk to a guy about being streaky because then you're almost encouraging failure. And I'm paraphrasing, and I'm going to mess up his point a little bit. But his overall thing that he was saying was, if I say to a guy, hey, don't worry that you're 0 for whatever, you're just in a bad streak, that gives him the comfort of knowing that not doing well is okay. He's like, I don't want guys feeling that way. And I thought that was interesting. I never heard that before from a manager before. He doesn't want to hear about streakiness. He doesn't want to hear about, oh, guy's just in a cold snap. He wants the guy coming out every single day thinking, I'm going to contribute today, no matter, you know, how badly it may have been going in the previous however many games.
I like to break things down to 10.
Okay.
That's what I always did, especially in the latter part of my career. I took 10 at-bats. And when those 10 at-bats were over, I went to the next 10. So it was never an extended good or bad thing. It was just those 10. Tony Gwynn was a streaky hitter. It lasted 19 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
you know, his bad streaks were like 2 at-bats long.
Maybe 1.
When he got a really big rut, he was like 0 for 2 in the 6th inning.
He did something wrong one time, and he went in and watched the tape, and then he came back, and he was fine.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of a different situation.
For sure.
You're not talking about an average major league hitter. All right, anyway, we're off to a fun start here. Obviously, a lot to talk about. We'll hit more on the win over the Brewers last night. We'll talk about tonight's game as well. The guy pitching for Milwaukee tonight, Jimmy Nelson, is in great form. You talk about recent success or failure. He's had a lot of recent success. He's been very, very good. So hopefully the Padre bats continue to go against him. We got news to talk about. We got a roster move. And we've got a lineup situation. Justin Upton not in the starting lineup today after his little collision with the wall in left field late in yesterday's game. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll also get to your tweets. As a reminder, hashtag PadresSH is how you get involved in the conversation. Hey, you can dress in your most rad 80s gear and head to Petco Park this Sunday for Sunday Fun Day. $25 package includes a ticket to the game against the Phillies, a drink ticket, and an 80s-inspired pair of sunglasses. So get your tickets today at Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. Lots more to talk about when we return. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, AMR studio at Petco Park with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Game 2 between the Padres and the Brewers coming up less than an hour from now at Miller Park in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I can't wait.
Why not?
I want to see him swing the bat some more.
Andrew Cashner on the mound against Jimmy Nelson. Cash was pretty loose last night, huh? He fooled us all. Thought that he had cut off the mullet mid-game. Nah, he just tucked it into his hat.
I knew he did that. I just knew it. I could almost tell. But he certainly deked out the announcers.
I mean, I was fooled. It looks because it had been freshly cut underneath. So you're like, oh, man, he really did. But maybe he just got it cleaned up earlier. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I don't fault Enberg or Mudcat for being fooled by that, but there it was. It was just tucked in all along.
It was good.
And so we got a great picture from Cash in the clubhouse after the game on social media. Cash was nice enough to send a selfie. And Nikki got that up, and Andrew Cashner was trending in San Diego like 2 minutes later on Twitter. We care a lot about Andrew Cashner's hair here in America's finest city.
So I'm surprised he wasn't sitting in the dugout scratching his head last night saying, I wonder if these guys can score some runs for me tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. The whole, hey, save some for tomorrow night thing.
Save some for me.
Yeah, he's been the unlucky guy this year.
Yes.
With run support and with defense. So hopefully things continue to trend upwards for all of the Padres, including Andrew Cashner tonight. All right, roster move today to tell you about as well. Roster move is presented by ADP, and Ian Kennedy is activated from the paternity leave list, so he's back with the team today after his 3 days with the family. Congratulations again to all of the Kennedys, and to make room on the 25-man roster, Leonel Campos, who we saw yesterday, optioned back to AAA El Paso. That is the roster move today, again brought to you by ADP, helping companies focus on what matters. So there you go. That's the roster move. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing too surprising, but wanted to pass that along.
You don't hear too many times where somebody sits on the tarmac in Miami.
No.
You know, no. Denver in the winter.
Yeah, they're good
Chicago.
At it there. The weather might stink, but they know how to get planes in and out of the place because it rains every single
before,
day.
Yeah, I never before heard about somebody getting stranded and sitting on the tarmac there.
It's happened to me a couple times, but I'm talking hundreds of flights over my life living there, and very infrequently, but it does happen. It does happen where, you know, the weather is no good, and it is what it is. All right, we spend a lot of time on this show, KB, trying to figure out how to win ball games, right? And we get really in-depth sometimes, and we talk hitting strategy. We talk pitching grips. I mean, sometimes we get really nitty-gritty. And oftentimes when you do that, you forget about some of the obvious things. It's like, you know how sometimes you get a piece of electronics that's not working, and you're driving yourself crazy. What's wrong with this thing? Why won't it turn on? And you realize it's not plugged in. Right, you know,
yeah.
So sometimes I feel like we do that with baseball, and we get so in-depth, and we make things so complicated. How can the Padres win this game tonight? Jellyman on Twitter has completely figured it out. He's saying, guys, you're foolish. He says, consistent hitting through the whole lineup plus good starting pitching equals wins. You know what? Why didn't we think of that?
There you go.
Thank you, Jelly. Where have you been this whole – we've been wasting so many breaths trying to figure out how to break down wins and how to create wins. And all they had to do was get 1 through 9 hitting and good starting pitching.
So hitting, good defense, and good pitching, and you win.
He's not even saying defense.
He didn't even mention defense.
Forget defense, he says.
I threw defense in there.
Yeah, no, having some fun with Jellyman. But his point was that it was literally everybody contributing last night, 1 through 9. How about 6 of the 9 starters not only knocked in a run, but also scored a run? That's how you know it's really churning. And all 9 guys did at least one of those 2 things. There was nobody in the starting lineup for the Padres last night that did not either knock in a run or score a run. And when that's the case, I'm going to guess more times than not you're gonna be victorious at the end of the day. It was fun seeing everybody get in on it.
There were some good swings going on yesterday. I can guarantee you that. Not only with Alexi doing what he was doing that I don't particularly like, pulling the ball, but going back through the middle that we see there and going the other way, Upton going the other way. I love it when I see Justin Upton go the other way because pitchers are going crazy trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
After he goes the other way and drives in a run.
So that was the story last night, along with the fact that the Padres scored in each of the first 5 innings. That's another way to ensure victory, Jellyman. Just score every inning, and you'll probably have some success. Then they didn't score in the 6th, and I was all bummed out. Oh, man, why didn't they score this inning? They made up for it in the 7th when they scored 6 more times.
I'm satisfied with them scoring in the 1st.
I know. That's your big thing.
That's my big thing.
Now, what's your theory again?
I just think if you get on top, you change the momentum of the game around.
Do you think that changes everything?
I really do.
That's your number one key to victory, right?
One little run.
You want 1 in the 1st, and you're satisfied.
Well, I'm not satisfied for the whole game.
But to start, yeah, I mean, yeah.
I like to get that little jump on the opposition. It makes them want to do things a little bit too much.
I get it. You change their mentality a little bit.
And it helps the psyche of your pitcher also.
Sure. Always better to pitch with a lead, right?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
All right. Robert is next on Twitter, and he says, with our August schedule and looking at the Giants and Cubs schedules, could we at least have our deficit this month? Here's what I want to say about this, Robert. It's a good question. It is. It's a fair question. It's a good question. It's a fun question because you start thinking about things and you get excited. But for me, I'm not worried about the standings yet, which is to say that as far as the Padres trying to make a run here, at this moment, August 4th, I'm more concerned about the Padres' record than I am the standings. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So I'm more concerned with the Padres getting to 500, and they're 2 under right now, and then getting a couple games over 500, and then I can start worrying about the Giants and the Cubs and the Mets and whoever else might be in between us and a playoff spot. But right now, my focus is inward, much more than it is outward. Because as good as the Padres have been in this stretch, and it's the best baseball they're playing all season, and 4-1 since the trade deadline, and, you know, 14-4, whatever it is in the last 8, something like that. That's all great, but that's got to continue, or it really doesn't matter what else is happening around the National League.
I'll add a little something to the Jellyman mentality.
That's Robert. Oh, okay.
If the Padres keep winning, they'll gain games on the people in front of them.
That's basically what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Giants are hot right now, although they lost a weird one last night. You haven't gained as much on San Francisco as maybe you'd like because they're keeping pace right now with the Padres. They're winning as much as San Diego is these days. But your point is those things take care of themselves when you're winning, right? That's kind of how I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
You know, I think what the Giants did was it put them in a position to help their team more than what the Dodgers did with that giant deal that they made.
Interesting.
Leak.
Yeah.
I like Leak.
Added a guy to the pen.
I like him.
He blew a game the other day, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
But I still like him.
Sure.
And they gave away a couple of prospects, a couple of decent prospects, but they weren't going to help their club this year, but Mike Leak can. And with the Dodgers, I just think with the exception of the left-hander, Wood, who has got an opportunity to be a pretty good pitcher. I mean, he's only 24 years old.
Pitching tonight for the first time as a Dodger.
He is pitching, and we'll see what the situation is after tonight and see how he goes in and handles that situation in a Dodger uniform. I'm anxious to see that.
I can tell. You get that little the Bavacqua grin going.
I have
going.
That little grin. Yeah. I know, because I'm liking what I'm seeing right now.
You're definitely interested in all of that. It's again with the standings for me. Take care of yourself, take care of your own business, and then we can start watching the other teams a little bit more closely, maybe when the calendar flips to September, you know, I would say. And as September goes on, more and more. But, you know, maybe between now and the end of August, if the Padres don't take care of business, doesn't matter what the Cubs and the Giants do, or the Mets, whoever, because they just got to keep on. And if they sweep this series against Milwaukee, which would mean three more wins, they're coming home for a big stretch of games here at Petco Park, above 500. And then, okay, let's build on that. But it's kind of one thing at a time right now, one hurdle at a time for the Padres. Getting back to 500 is the first hurdle. Getting a couple of games comfortably over 500 will be the hurdle after that. And then I think, okay, let's start talking standings a little bit and get into the whole thing. So that's the way I'm thinking about the standings. But it's still fun when you know you win and the Giants lose, or any team behind you loses. And the Giants last night, a dramatic loss in Atlanta. Which was cool for a couple of reasons. One, A.J. Pierzynski with a home run, two outs in the bottom of the ninth to tie it and send this thing to extra innings. A two-run home run off Santiago Casilla for A.J. Pierzynski, the ageless backstop for the Atlanta Braves, to blow the save for the Giants, and Atlanta would end up winning it in the 10th inning. This was the second coolest thing that A.J. Pierzynski did in the game last night. Did you see the other?
No.
Did you hear about the other? So we talk a lot now about catchers trying to frame the ball, right?
Oh, yes.
That's a big thing. Everybody's talking about catchers framing it and all this kind of stuff. So A.J. Pierzynski, bless his little heart, he tried to frame a pitch last night. It was a pitch that bounced 5 feet in front of home plate.
I'm surprised Pence didn't swing at it.
Fair enough, of all people. So the ball barely gets to the dirt in front of home plate, and it bounces to him, and he tries to frame it. And it is legal, by the way, right, to swing if you're 100 pence.
Absolutely.
If the ball bounces, you can still try and hit
Rennie Stanton hit a double day in Chicago off a ball that bounced.
And you're right. If anybody in baseball today is going to pull that off, it's going to be Hunter Pence.
Yes, it is.
Who happened to be at the plate. But the pitcher, my favorite part is he gets the ball back from Pierzynski, and he's almost laughing to himself at the effort. And aside,
that is really funny.
Yeah.
That really is.
Aside from the fact that he's trying to frame a pitch that bounced 4 feet, 5 feet in front of the plate, how about the fact that it's also like a foot high? It's not even close. Like, if it would have at least bounced right over the plate, that would be one thing. But he's got to pull it down from like the letters and try and make it look like a strike. A for effort, A.J. Pierzynski.
That's all time right there. Really is.
You'll see that 15 years from now.
That is
as
good as it gets.
In between innings on the video board, you know, they're showing funny things from baseball history. You may see that. Like, it was that good of a moment for A.J. Pierzynski last night. All right, we got some good Twitter stuff coming in. We'll get to that when we come back. Also give you the starting lineup for tonight's game against the Brewers. Justin Upton not in the lineup for the Padres. We'll also hear from Justin and how he's feeling after that little collision with the wall in last night's game. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and with Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. More Twitter when we come back. And tonight's starting lineup, this is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres and the Brewers, the Brew Crew, the Cerveceros, the Beer Makers coming up at 4:10 from Miller Park in Milwaukee.
So if I remember right, Milwaukee came into San Diego last year in first place, and they had been in first place almost the entire season.
Since April.
And when they left here, they were out of first place.
It all fell apart.
And they've been on a downward spiral ever since then.
That is a good account of what took place. Now, a lot of people would say what happened last year was an inevitability. They were sort of hanging on by a thread. And it's like the last little thing of the pinata was still in place, and the Padres happened to be the team that knocked the candy out. But timing is something. And, that's a pretty good account of what happened with the Brewers. They jumped out to an unbelievable April last year. They had this great start to the season, and then they sort of played 500 ball for a while to just tread water. And then eventually the statistical inevitabilities caught up with them, and they returned to earth. And then it got really bad. And so you combine that with a brutal start this season, and you have a managerial change. That's what happened. But you're right. If you go back and you look at their schedule from last year, there's no doubt. Getting beat up here at Petco Park was sort of the thing that began the big spiral downward.
How long is it going to take for Council's hair to get gray?
It's unbelievable. The guy still – they were talking about on TV last night. The guy still looks like he's like 17.
I know. My wife says, who is that, the bat boy? I said, no, he's the manager.
Incredible.
She goes, why do they keep putting that kid on the television?
It's unbelievable.
It was hilarious.
But you're right. That'll be the real test. You know, the guy that like forever looks super young, and if he's able to maintain –
he'll look like Sparky Anderson in about another 3 months.
Like all wrinkly like a bulldog. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of thing. That'll be a fun thing to track, actually. We should get a picture of Craig Counsell from his first day as Brewer manager and just sort of every couple months check in on him over the next few years and just see what's happening.
And I wish him well. I hope he stays young, especially after these next three games.
Yeah, no, let him get real old for the next 3 days. And Blooper, do we have the technological capabilities to track Craig Counsell's aging over the years ahead?
I can try.
Oh.
I can get a picture of him if that's –
yeah, no, that's what we're asking.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, you can get a picture.
Yeah.
Right click,
well, you know
save
how they
as.
Have, you know how they have that technology where you take somebody's picture and you can age them?
Sure.
Maybe we could do that with him.
Blooper, do you have
and
that?
And then compare it.
Do you have that app?
I have an app on my phone.
Yeah,
to
I was going
to
say.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a picture of Craig Counsell from when he started as the Brewer manager. We're going to save that. And then Blooper's going to use his app to age him. And then we're going to check in every few months, and we'll compare the reality to the app.
That's I like that.
Okay. We can at least kill 2 minutes every couple weeks with Craig Counsell watch.
There you go.
We're going to take a great interest in Craig Counsell's aging on this show. That's going to be. By the way, speaking of stupid things, how's your hunt for Taylor Swift coming?
It's working.
Meaning?
I see tweets every once in a while from Blue to Taylor Swift. It's such a kick.
I haven't actually done it in a while, but I will tweet at her
again.
Well,
why not?
Because I started talking to people with the Padres who might know her people because she's coming here. So
okay.
I started that route instead. The Twitter route didn't seem to be working.
Did she ever reply to anything on Twitter?
No, she never favorited, replied.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And my
last tweet was gold.
She sent out a tweet to the weatherman in Houston, Blooper.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you how. He went through a whole forecast of all her songs. He put all her songs in his forecast. Now, what they were, I'll never know because I didn't sit and watch this two-minute weathercast that this guy did, but it was Weatherman Mike, and she sent out a tweet to him saying, keep up the good work and all that stuff. So I have a good idea.
All right.
If you can figure out how to do that with the songs and all of that stuff and get your host and co-host and all of that to go along with it, maybe throw some sayings in there, you might get some.
I did that with a tweet. One of my tweets I heard was all song titles.
Yeah. She did not favorite it.
No, she didn't.
She did not.
That's probably because she got 14 million of those that day.
Yeah. No,
it has
fair.
To be people on air.
Sorry, Blooper.
Oh.
You keep doing you, though.
I'll try.
Yeah, you do what you can. All right, let's get back to Twitter. Andrew Cashner on the hill today against Jimmy Nelson. Brewers have now lost six straight. Padres trying to make it seven. Netcutter wants to talk about tonight's starting pitcher. This one's a little bit different. KB. How would you describe Andrew Cashner in one sentence? And then he used the hashtag twice, so he's really fired up about getting on the show. Okay, one sentence. It can be a run-on.
I would say growing into a pitcher. starting to get it.
Okay. Semicolon, starting to get it. Would you say the best is yet to come? Would that be a good sentence?
Yes.
Okay. You're optimistic. Yes. You're buying Andrew Kashner.
I am.
Okay.
Some more tweaking needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm there with him now.
The stuff is there.
Yes.
We all know that. We have all seen that. And we've seen what happens when it comes together on a given night.
I want Murph to go out and get him more, or try to get him more.
Because of what
That's what I want to see. Because evidently it ticks him off.
Yeah. He got left in that last one after Murph came out, I think in the seventh, and he finished the inning, and he looked good against Miami. He's got all the raw tools, right? And I know we're now beyond a sentence, net cutter. I hope that's all right with you. He's got all the raw tools. We've seen him put it together a few times. He's had some magnificent starts. You go back a couple years ago in Pittsburgh when he faced the minimum. Last year he had the one hitter against the Tigers when he went the distance. He's got the stuff, and now it's just sort of about everything else coming together for him, which is a fun guy to watch as far as I'm concerned. Because any given night, he could do something spectacular. And you're just waiting for more consistency.
Hey, you can have the best stuff in the world, and if you don't know how to pitch, you're not going to win. And I think Andrew's learning how to pitch now.
Okay.
At the major league level. He's trusting going in. He's trusting a changeup in. I'd still like to see him add that high heater.
Mm-hmm.
A few more times throughout the course of the game. I think that would help.
Because he can get it up 96, 97 when he wants to.
Anybody can throw 96 or 97. If they don't pitch it, the letters, they're crazy.
Yeah.
In my estimation. Because I don't know of too many hitters that can turn that around.
They're going to screw themselves into the ground.
Now, if RJ was pitching, you can turn it around.
Keep it low.
Yeah. If you ask him, he'll tell you.
Yeah, he kept it down.
Every single thing he tried to keep down.
By the way, speaking of that, interesting USA Today story yesterday. The ground ball rate, like the highest it's ever been. Everybody's talking about strikeouts, which are also historically high. But like the ground ball to fly ball ratio is maybe as out of whack as it's ever been as far as the number of ground balls compared to the number of fly balls. What do you make of that? Around baseball.
In the last 15 years or yeah. forever?
I think this data really, they've only really been tracking in the last 15 years or
okay.
so. But right now, more ground balls than fly balls by as much as they've ever seen. You okay. make anything of that?
I'd have to think about it.
Okay.
Try to figure out why, but.
When are you on next? A couple days? You on over the weekend?
Friday.
KB's back on Friday.
Friday.
All right, so before Friday night's
so
game.
Count on a win on Thursday.
Well, that's right. I like that.
right.
We'll reassess that with you. I want to hear what you think about the high ground ball rate.
Yeah, that's interesting.
When we come back. All right, one more tweet before the break. At WestCali23 wants to know anything on Spangy coming back. Corey Spangenberg, he hopes to see him soon. Miss that guy in the lineup. Yes, in fact, and we'll make this our AMR injury report. Spangenberg is off on the rehab assignment. He is with the AAA El Paso Chihuahuas. And last night in his first game on the rehab assignment, he actually tripled and he sent in a run. And the triple is particularly encouraging to me because it shows he's running okay.
Yeah, there you go.
And I didn't see the play. So maybe it was like a stand-up triple. But it shows that the wheels are working, which is good because this was a bone bruise in the knee. And the night he got hurt, in fact, he had what would have been a triple had he not been hurt, and he stopped at second, and that's when you knew something was maybe a little bit off. So that was the night he got hurt against Arizona. But this rehab assignment beginning sooner than I think a lot of people would have expected. So that is good news. That is encouraging. Still, I would guess it's going to be a few days at minimum. I wouldn't expect him back anytime in the next couple of days.
Now, I know the oblique muscle was invented in the last 10 years or so.
Okay.
Because we never heard of it before that. It was just called a different thing.
Okay.
And bone and stone bruises only happened to your hand back in the day.
Okay.
But now they're everywhere. I mean, he had a stone bruise in his knee. I mean, Yonder Alonso had a stone bruise on his back earlier. Do you think that the medical terminology is just kind of taking a change? And they're going from one part of the body to the other, just calling things what they used to call other things?
I have no idea. I mean, I mean medicine advances,
nothing.
Right?
We know nothing.
You're getting into a math and science. I'm not going to be able to help you out.
Math and science.
I can barely add like 6 and 6. And I certainly don't know. 212 bones in the human body, right? I have no idea. I just feel like I remember that from middle school. 206. There's a good chance we're both wrong.
Except for the 6 you get stone bruises on.
Well, what's the other one? It was we were talking about it with D.
The
Gordon.
One you don't need.
The hamate.
The hamate bone you don't need. You can
maybe
have
that
it
was
out.
Stanton.
If you're a young player, you could have it taken out.
Right. It's like the appendix. You don't actually need it. You were right, by the way, 206.
You did that quick, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just Google.
See, it's amazing what you can find out on the internet.
Did you know that when you're born, you have 270 bones, but then it goes down to 206? How about that? You lose bones after you're born. That's blowing my mind. I had no idea.
That's a little scary. What happens to them?
I don't know.
I would think when you were born, you would have less.
I would have thought it would be the same, and then they would just get bigger as you grow. That's why you got to drink milk when you're little.
I would think cartilage and things would turn into bones.
Do we have a doctor watching the program, and can you explain
this, please?
I hope not. If so, make sure you give us your name so we never go to see you. No, I'm kidding. 206, except when you're born, 270. That's a big difference.
That's amazing. I never knew that.
I got to understand that a little bit better. This is all part of the AMR Injury Report. We're doing the medical talk here. One other thing on the AMR Injury Report, Justin Upton, we mentioned, not in the starting lineup. He's got what they're calling a bruised right thumb day-to-day. The word today is that I probably couldn't throw real well today, so he may be available to pinch hit.
So it's the thumb. It's not the pad down here.
Bruised right thumb is what the team is calling it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I have not inspected it on my own. And, again, if you missed it, because it was kind of in a 10-run game, I don't know how much attention anybody's paying. He kind of ran into that sidewall. You could tell right away.
He knew right there.
He knew he was a little hurt.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, they got that stupid metal gate thing that's kind of low in Milwaukee. In a lot of places, that's still padded. Not everywhere, but it's kind of like half metal, half padded. And he ran into it. And so, unfortunately, he's got a little bit of a boo-boo type situation there. But hopefully he's back soon, and it's okay. That is the AMR Medical Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. Maybe we can get somebody from AMR on the phone to explain what happens to those bones after you're born.
We know they know.
What is that, 63 bones you lose? How long does it take to lose them? Where do they go?
I don't know.
I'm blown away by this. I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. Somebody on Twitter will know, though, and we'll get that information, hopefully, coming up. We got to take a break. Come back. Talk a little bit more about tonight's game. Jimmy Wilson pitching well for the Brewers. He goes up against Andrew Cashner, and we'll also share the starting lineup with you. Attention, compadres, kids. You can play catch on the outfield grass following Sunday's game against Philadelphia. Families can line up at the park at the end of the eighth inning to play catch on the field afterwards. So get your tickets at Padres.com and check out the Compadres Kids program if you are not a member. Take a break, come back, more Twitter, more bones, and whatever else on Padres Social Hour presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Blooper is here. Becky is here. Everybody's having a good time. You know, one of my favorite things about social media is that you can ask a question and at least like a dozen people are going to get back to you with the answer. So I don't even remember now how this started. How did we get on Bone Talk? Oh, we were saying we didn't know anything about medicine, right? You're telling me like, oh, the oblique is used to be called this, and I was there like, I don't know nothing about medicine. I don't even know how many bones are in the human body. You did, 206, but I had to Google that to check your math, and you were right. And when I Googled it, I saw that you actually are born with 270, and somehow that number decreases over time, and that blew my mind. And so luckily a bunch of people on social media came through, including a guy who's a physical therapist assistant, Tom, and everybody points out they fuse together. So you don't actually lose the bones. And this kind of makes sense, but that's still fascinating to me. I had no idea. So when you're born, you got all these extra bones that then fuse with other bones to create like one bone. or fewer bones.
You know what's amazing, though?
Hmm.
That the same number in every person fuses together.
Whether you're 6'8", 350, or 5'2", 101, you got the same number of bones, assuming you're not a baby.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. It's incredible. Science, man, blows my mind. Cannot understand it. That's why I don't even try. Absolutely nothing.
We got all kinds of notes out. We're on.
Yeah, no, like Googling.
I'm in here. Where do those bones go?
Things. Hey, you know what? I'm not ashamed. If you
I'm
don't
not
know,
either.
Ask.
No, it's fun.
Yeah, this is it, man.
It's fun.
But that's crazy. 270 down to 206. I'll tell you this. I'll never forget that now. Now
and,
I know.
And Justin's thumb bone is hurt.
He's got a bruise on his right thumb.
Right.
And he might be available to pinch hit. And that's really the relevant thing for all
that
of
is,
us.
That's good.
All right, Blooper says we got to go to break. We're wasting things on bone talk. And when we come back, we'll do the starting lineup for tonight's game in Milwaukee, Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, about 20 minutes away from first pitch at Miller Park in Milwaukee. Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Kurt Pavakwa. I'm Jesse Agler. A little bit of a different lineup today. We've seen more consistency in the starting eight out of Pat Murphy these last couple of weeks with the team playing better baseball. But Justin Upton day-to-day with the bruise on the right thumb. So he's out of the lineup and things a little bit different. The lineup is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. And as far as the lineup goes today for the Padres, like we said, Kurt's got to be a little bit different, but you got to be able to go with the flow. And it goes like this. Amarista leading off again, playing shortstop. Solarte batting second at third base. Kemp in right. Alonso cleaning up at first base. Jurco bats fifth at second. Venable in left field. Noah Upton batting sixth. Derek Norris back behind the plate batting seventh. Melvin Upton hits eighth. And Andrew Cashner, the pitcher, will bat ninth. That leads us into our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Kurt and Blooper, you're all tied, by the way. The Couch and Blooper are tied. Seth, you've got the first pick, and you select whom?
Solarte.
Oh, he's riding the hot guy.
Yes.
He's riding the hot guy.
You know they're going to pitch to him tougher now that he's swinging the bat well, right? Do you realize that?
He's going to hit the ball tougher.
I'll take Cashner.
All right, you're going with the pitcher. Blooper won with the pitcher yesterday. So you're taking one out of his book.
I was going to take Jurco, but I figured I'd take Cashner and for sure win.
Okay, I like it. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp and clean and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Dave Dombrowski out as the Detroit Tigers general manager and team president. How about this one? They just finished four straight years of being in first place at the end of the season. Prior to that, they had done it four times in 65 years.
Isn't there more to that story? There's more to this story that hasn't come out yet.
Maybe.
That, and I'm not saying it's turmoil. I'm just saying that he either went to the ownership of the Detroit Ball Club and said, you know, I've had enough, or I want to go somewhere else. Or the ownership got together with him and said, we don't necessarily like the direction that we're in right now. We don't necessarily blame it on you. He might have taken it personally. I think there was a meeting of the minds there.
All right.
They didn't just go to David Dombrowski and fire him.
Okay.
At least I don't think so.
Something will come out. You know, we'll get a little bit more information, but pretty crazy. They've had more success under him than they pretty much have, as we just said, in the last, you know, 6.5 decades. And a really, really well-regarded guy, architect of the 97 Marlin championship team as well. And it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. Early favorite appears to be Toronto, just based on internet speculation, which, as you know, is worth everything. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up this Tuesday Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Wrapping up, Padres Social Hour presented by United, about 15 minutes away from first pitch. Andrew Cashner and Jimmy Nelson. Nelson has been good, 14 straight scoreless innings, a 2.15 ERA in his last seven starts. But the Padres are hot, the Brewers are not, and hopefully more of the same last night. I got to put you on the Cholula hot seat, Kurt, before we get out of here. Brandon Maurer, some people starting to be concerned maybe not as sharp as we've seen earlier in his last couple of outings. Are you concerned about the seventh inning man?
No, but I think something's been proven over the last couple of weeks with Brandon Maurer. Maybe not use him as much as he's been used because he's not used to it yet. And you have to fall into that, being used as much as he is. I don't think he's ever been used in his entire career up until now as much as he has.
Yeah, he's talked about it, trying to find a new routine to make it work physically. Interesting stuff, something to keep an eye on. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. We're back tomorrow at 4. Enjoy the game, everybody.